Team saved again. Okay, so thanks to marvels of modern technology, we get to have our head explode again. It's an endless bad news and horror show.
Maddow has described Moscow's alleged interference in the 2016 race as an attack on our election.
Oh, you mean the black box fracked 3/5 U.S. voters. Wow.
And remembering the names of the lawyers, because Alan Dulles, there we go, Bank of New York, had a third of a billion in the... No, third of a trillion.
So this is after the 9/11/01 stand down for drone strikes and triple demolitions, but we were following suit on Russia's inside job in Ryazan. Remember the fifth bomb? The West man Yeltsin had a prime minister within 1 week in office, boom, except the fifth one didn't go boom because the guard noticed the paper taped over the license, and of course the blonde woman was not from Chechnya, and she flashed her KGB, FSB, Federal Security Bureau, you know what I mean.
Excuse me. Billion is chump change these days. Third of a trillion and 300 billion after 9/11. So that's where the World War II loot, and that's who's funding Hitler. And that's who's funding the fascists. And, of course, the wall and deportations are fascism. But Trumps and Clintons are the same. These are the Southern men, Dixiecratic plantation foremen, even drone bomber. House slave, they say.
Maybe they shouldn't have run such a corrupt clay candidate that could fall down like a house of cards so easily with a little bit of truth. Well, and you know what? Wait, I will say one more thing. Anya, the two main shows on RT, Tom Hartman and Ed Schultz, completely vociferously hate Trump.
We have consensus. Yes, there's such beautiful harmony. Everyone is united in hatred of the human cesspool. Yes. We escaped into to dodge the Clinton Death Squad bullets that were unraveling after the Podesta laptop, using John Podesta as his thing and password as his password. I'm like,
on March 21st, she went further. She said, this is not part of American politics. This is not, you know, partisan warfare between Republicans and Democrats. This is international warfare against our country. And it did not end on Election Day. We are still in it. She's saying that Russia's committing international warfare on us, meaning we better respond to someone attacking us in a warlike way. The only problem with that... So, by the way, what's that called? That's called beating the drum for war as a fucking journalist. Because guess what? But whatever Russia may have done, it was not, quote, international warfare. And it was most likely far less consequential than U.S. interference in other countries over many decades, including Russia itself. We've interfered in Russia's election. Look what we did. We tried to get Yeltsin the president of that country. We've interfered. We've got tapes of Hillary Clinton saying we shouldn't let Palestine have an election unless we can figure out how it's going to turn out first. Unless we can control how it's going to turn out. The CIA, they overthrow governments left and right. They overthrow democratically elected governments and kill fucking women and children to do it before lunch. That's what the CIA does. If the worst is true, Maddow warned on March 17th, if the presidency is effectively a Russian op, if the American presidency right now is the product of collusion between the Russian intelligence services and an American campaign. I mean, that is so profoundly big. We not only need to stay focused on figuring it out, we need to start preparing for what the consequences are going to be if it proves to be true. This is fucking she should be put in jail for this. This is unbelievable.
when you have a paragraph with that many ifs in it, when you're saying if that many times, you don't get to turn around and then say this is an act of international warfare. In the land of sound bites, you don't get to do that. That's grossly irresponsible.
She's got Russia on the mind so much, her entire iTunes is filled with nothing but Pussy Riot. So The Intercept says, hey, Rachel, what if the allegations are ultimately disproved and go nowhere? Which they haven't, which is the case right now, 6 months after the election. Maddow and like-minded influential liberals will have led their audience on a fruitless quest, all the while helping foment anti-Russian sentiment, channeling Democratic Party energy away from productive self-critique. Mm-hmm. And diverting focus from the White House's actual policies. That's what Rachel Maddow has been. A complete, huge distraction from the important shit we should be talking about. What went wrong with the Democrats? Why they're such a wiped-out party from coast to coast at every level of government?
Donald Jingle. Donald, don't you kill for me. Now, see, Bill, I don't want Donald to kill for me. I want Donald to kill me.
What?
So I won't be guilty of that chicken shit drone murdering, dropping the biggest WMD since Nagasaki on a target we are in league with in Syria? I'm sorry. Kill me first.
All they have to give you is medical bills. Don't pay this stuff.
You're going to kill you?
I don't know how to turn this off. Well, as soon as I post this video, we will. But before I turn it off, what about that little story about Martin Luther King's brother, was it? He said something about we ain't leaving. Remember that little scene with the guys ready to kill you with a knife?
Yeah, they stopped it all. They stopped all.
And I think he said... something like getting up and at it because we're not leaving.
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, well, but tell me that story again.
Dude.
Because you were in the South.
I was in the South on Peace Street and on Woodworks Department Store. We went in to get some coffee.
Don't lost the wages, don't lost the rent.
They refused to serve him. Clients came in, told him we don't get out. We'll blow our head.
You know,
off.
If you right. Can't walk across
and
the street,
then
we'll give you nothing except medical.
If you got to kill us now, make it quick, because we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
And they left.
Yay.
And I was saying to myself, AD, speak for yourself, don't speak for me.
But if you're rich, no problem.
Thank you, Bill.
That was my first time I ever was paid
in LA
with death
in
the Civil Rights Movement.
Still on Santa Monica at the McDonald's. She was rich. She got $11 million.
How about that?
She got nothing.
En el viento, el águila le da luego y le cubija el silencio. Correle, 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 correle. Curly, que te van a matar. Curly, curly, curly. Sound terrible. Heard you sing better than me. For Victor Hara. Actually, he sang it for Jay. Andale.
They constantly talked about how horrible Trump was. They even went farther than mainstream media talking about Trump, calling him a fat.
Y yo también, pero yo sé que el odio es mi problema. Hatred is sickness. That's my problem. If I hate Trump, it's my problem. But this sick fart joke that wants to build a wall and deport nos mexicanos, pues, por supuesto, soy mexicano, pero estoy en México aquí mismo porque no reconocemos esclavitud y genocidio, invasión criminales y la ley de derecho común también no. ¿Qué ha de decir derecho común de la invasión genocidio? In no case can a white citizen be convicted on the testimony of an Indian, California Indian Indentured Act of 1850. Now, I can't exactly say this in a romance language because English can only be used and said by psychopaths. And you express psychotic things like indentured, meaning born without rights, only as a criminal act. So, después de la revolución, esta va a ser una zona de inglés prohibida. Y disculpa haber eso, pero también probable español porque es lengua colonial con todos estos mindforks, like 9/11 is a mind fork. One Pentagon drone plus one Pentagon drone equals three WTC demolitions.
Indian legislations on the desk fascist, of a don't tell me congressman that people now, viewing RT know much about the issues, so the
and
it
all know
and he asks advice of the senator out in Indian country, a darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. I learned a safety rule. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand between the reservation and the corporate bank. They'll send in federal tanks. It isn't nice, but it's reality. Bury my heart, it won't admit. Deep in the earth, cover me with pretty lies. Bury my heart, it won't admit.
characterized Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. At the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum 2017, which ended on June 3rd, Megyn Kelly reminded Russian President Vladimir Putin that even Donald Trump had called Assad evil, as he did after the August 4th chemical weapons attack allegedly committed by the Syrian army.
Our president has said that you're backing an evil guy there. He said Assad is an evil guy. Do you believe that?
Putin responded that Russia is not defending Assad. It is defending the Syrian state from the fate of Libya, Somalia, and Afghanistan.
It is not President Assad whom we are protecting there. We are protecting the Syrian statehood. We don't want there in Syria to be a situation similar to that in Libya or in Somalia or in Afghanistan. And Afghanistan NATO has been present for many years, but the situation is not changing for the better. We want to preserve the Syrian statehood. And on the basis of resolving this fundamental issue, we would like them to move towards settling the Syrian issue through political means. Yes, probably everyone is there to blame for something, but let's not forget that were it not for inactive interference from outside, the civil war would probably not have broken out.
Putin also said that there was absolutely no evidence that the Syrian army had committed the August 4th chemical weapons attack.
What has President Assad been accused of recently? We know he is accused about using chemical weapons, but there's no evidence to support that whatsoever. Right after the incident, we suggested that an inspection should be carried out at the airbase from which allegedly the aircraft of President Assad had taken off carrying chemical weapons. If chemical weapons had been used, then those weapons would have been loaded onto the aircraft and the cutting-edge analyzing equipment would have detected that. But they refused to conduct this kind of inspection. So they're talking a lot, but not doing much. We suggested that an inspection should be carried out at the place where the strike took place. They're saying it's too dangerous. Why is it dangerous if the strike was against the good part of the opposition?
On Sunday, June 4th, Megyn Kelly will interview Vladimir Putin on her new MSNBC show, Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly. In Berkeley, for Pacifica, KPFA Radio, I'm Ann Garrison.
I used to be one who was like, oh, well, maybe, you know, like, the evidence isn't really in, and perhaps, you know, that like, give them a break. I'm sick of giving them a break. They know that they're lying. They must know that they're lying. They must know that this whole Russia thing is a big farce. It's got all the hallmarks. They lived through Iraq. They know. They saw what we saw. They're taking the CIA's word. These are people who are, like, employed to lie. Like, they must know that they're lying. I don't give them sympathy anymore. And I actually think that something that we have to retract as a movement is sympathy. Obama spent 8 years drawing upon people's sympathy to do absolutely nothing, and in fact, behind the scenes, wind humanity's forward movement back a long, long way. All because we were like, oh, you know, he can't do anything because... it's all the other people. It's not him. He's really well-meaning or whatever. I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that anymore. You know?
I think that... Caitlin, someday Barack Obama will be in a position of power and he can actually do something.
Yeah, right.
Satin is a big time shark. Fallen angel. I got a brother rolling Venus in. He got a brother who's just like him. Living over in Moscow, two of a kind. How come the great power got the junky mind? Fallen angels. Never get enough.
and guns with the CIA. He's the best at being bad to be. Who would think he'd do it all for me? What's it matter if you're green or red? The Yankee dollar or the Tommy Thread? When the real power in the Mio world gonna deny it all anyway?
The Fallen Angels reminds me that in the last episode of the Contra War in Central America, Nurse Dorothy was escorting the Contra to the hospital to protect him from reprisal from his countrymen so he could get a bullet out of his head, and then he would go back and tell his buddies, "You can't kill her, she's the only one taking care of our family." So, anyway, as we're mopping up our 40,000 headmen, or not we, the Syrians are mopping up your gringo y gringa, your death squad Arab sting, scarab sting of the Arab Spring. Don't forget.
You're the only white man in the room.
Don't call me white.
I just got back from town. Yeah, the bribes are paid. Honey, they turned my offer down. They say the deal's already made. So now I gotta stand and watch while it all comes down. And the buzzards and the hawks, the judges and the mob circle round. Now if I were the queen of all the world, I would go in chains just to see you free of the ropes that bind you, the role you play, and the pride that hooks you while the big ones get away. Love junkies want to change the world, quickly stays the same, and money junkies fire all the smart ones. Junkies run the game, one step at a time. Polarity Hill. If the bad guys don't get too big, then the good guys will. With angels on the tape and gangsters in the yard, don't the wars go
come hard. That crescent moon, wield it like a knife, save you from the lies, from the ropes that bind you, and the role you play, and the game that hooks you, while the big ones get away.
Betty's relative said the suspected bomber was pained by the killing of Abdul Wahab Halida, Hafida, an 18-year-old who news reports say was chased by a group of men, run over, and stabbed in the neck in Manchester in May 2016. So that would be like a year before... Terror in Britain, what did the Prime Minister know? Oh, let me read. That was from Kansas City Star, that detail. They wouldn't let you share bread with them, she said. Abedi told her they are unjust to the Arabs. Bin Salem said Abedi's mother told investigators her son left for the UK 4 days before the attack after spending a month in Libya. Based on the account from a younger brother, investigators think Abedi used the internet to learn how to make a bomb and seek victory for the Islamic State, unquote, Bin Salah said. The allegations clash with what Abedi's father said a day earlier in an interview with the AP. We don't believe in killing innocents, Ramadan Abedi said before he was detained in Tripoli, but he had said, forgive me, in a phone call to the family. So it's like, well, let me read this from John Pilger. The unsayable in Britain general election campaign is this. The causes of the Manchester atrocity, in which 22 mostly young people were murdered by a jihadist, are being suppressed to protect the secrets of the British foreign policy. Critical questions such as why the security service MI5 maintained terrorist assets in Manchester and why the government did not warn the public of the threat in their midst remain unanswered, deflected by the promise of an internal review. The alleged suicide bomber, Salman Abedi, was part of an extremist group, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, that thrived in Manchester and was cultivated and used by MI5 for more than 20 years. The LIFG is proscribed by Britain as a terrorist organization which seeks a hardline Islamic state in Libya and is part of the wider global Islamist extremist movement as inspired by Al-Qaeda, unquote. But a smoking gun is that when Theresa May was Home Secretary, LIFG jihadists were allowed to travel unhindered across Europe and encouraged to engage in battle, first to remove Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, then to join Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups in Syria. Last year, the FBI reportedly placed Abedi on a terrorist watch list and warned MI5 that his group was looking for a political target in Britain. Why wasn't he apprehended and the network around him prevented from planning and executing the atrocity on May 22nd? These questions arise because of an FBI leak that demolished the lone wolf spin in the wake of the May 22nd attack. Thus, the panicky, uncharacteristic outrage directed at Washington from London and Donald Trump's apology. Oh, let me read my little blog. Can John spell MI6? He talks all about MI5, whose job is to provide deniability to the pirates up the Thames by pretending to look for their cloak dagger backside. who set up the LIFG murder racket along with us, U.S. He lays that at the doorstep of May, but doesn't note cui bono, her, adding up to inside job proven by remote detonator photo revealing all. Why would lone wolf acquire one? Obviously not suicide. Maybe do it or else. A little funny listening to an author openly blind to the obvious, because in another piece he talks about how he does not go on talk about 9/11/01 truth because he doesn't want to lose his audience. His willfully, numbingly stupid audience. But back to terror in Britain. Okay, so that was the reason that their undies are in a bind, because they assemble these death squads, the 40,000 hitmen, to assassinate my stunt double. And of course, Hillary laughed, saying, "We came, we saw, he died. It was a drone strike." Just like when all the children in Mazote were murdered, they flew in by helicopters. So you could say, oh, yeah, I was just screaming at one of the Food Not Bomb customers, a vet who had been in Central America during the horrible 80s, and his brow was furrowed, and talking about people killing each other, their own people killing their own people. No, 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 ex-Marine, they flew in by helicopters. So never mind. The smoking gun is that when Theresa May was Home Secretary, Libyan Islamic fighting group jihadists were allowed to travel unhindered across Europe and encouraged to engage in battle, first to remove Muammar Gaddafi in Libya and then to join al-Qaeda-affiliated groups in Syria. And so the fact that this is 1 year after the murder of Abdel Waha, and that's hyphenated, A-B-D-E-L-W-H-A-A-B, Abdel Wahab Hafida, okay, H-A-F-I-D-A-H. Nobody hears about him. So 1 year after a Manchester countryman from Libya is murdered and nothing is done, he's murdered in cold blood by a gang and nothing is done, in order to keep their props, our medieval shithook proxies have to do something, and so we know it's going to happen. It's as inevitable as rain. But back to, okay, so he can't say inside job, because then this will never get published in any of the places I picked it up. This is johnpilger.com articles, Terror in Britain, What Did the Prime Minister Know? So these questions arise because of an FBI leak that demolished the lone wolf spin in the wake of the May 22nd attack. Thus, panicky, uncharacteristic outrage directed at Washington from London and Donald Trump's apology. The Manchester atrocity lifts the rock of British foreign policy to reveal its Fausti alliance with extreme Islam. Well, he calls it Islam. I think it has nothing to do with Muhammad, but never mind. Especially the sect known as Wahhabism or Salafism, whose principal custodian and banker is the oil kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Britain's biggest weapons customer. This imperial marriage reaches back to the Second World War and the early days of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. The aim of British policy was to stop pan-Arabism, Arab states developing a modern secularism, asserting their independence from imperial West and controlling their resources. The creation of a rapacious Israel was meant to expedite this. Pan-Arabism has since been crushed. The goal now is division and conquest. In 2011, according to Middle East Eye, the LIFG in Manchester were known as the Manchester Boys, implacably opposed to Muammar Gaddafi. They were considered high risk, and a number were under home office control orders, house arrest, when anti-Gaddafi demonstrations broke out in Libya, a country forged from myriad tribal enmities. Suddenly, the control orders were lifted. I was allowed to go, no questions asked, said one LIFG member. MI5 returned their passports, and counterterrorism police in Heathrow Airport were told to let them board their flights. The overthrow of Gaddafi, who controlled Africa's largest oil reserves, had long been planned in Washington and London. According to French intelligence, LIFG made several assassination attempts on Gaddafi in the 90s, bankrolled by British intelligence. In March 2011, France, Britain, and the U.S. seized the opportunity of a, quote, humanitarian intervention, unquote, and attacked Libya. They were joined by NATO under cover of a U.N. resolution to protect civilians. So, 1973, that's when you can take a pancake, high-compression pop-up pistons and drive from Klamath Falls to Sacramento on 7 gallons of gas because all the gas stations are closed, so I can drive 45 on the Highway 5, you know, coasting down Sierra, and I got 50 miles a gallon, 1973. So that was the year of the West was marching north through Lebanon, south through Sinai, east through Syria, and in response, the Arabs went on, had an embargo. The last to drop the Arab oil embargo was Libya, the first to put Tim Osman, a.k.a. capital USAMA, his mama called him, on the Interpol watch list. So that was the UN resolution 1973. Just think, that's the Arab oil embargo resolution. It's payback, okay? Britain, France, the United States effectively destroyed Libya as a modern state. According to the massacre story was fabricated by Salafist militia. Okay, in fact, Obama was a leading actor in the shit show urged on by his. Last September, House of Commons Foreign Affairs Select Committee Injury Inquiry concluded Prime Minister David Cameron had taken the country to war against Gaddafi on a series of erroneous assumptions, quote unquote, and that the attack had led to the rise of the Islamic State in North Africa. The Commons Committee quoted that it called Barack Obama's pithy description of Cameron's role in Libya as a shit show. In fact, Obama was a leading actor in the shit show, urged on by his warmongering Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and a media accusing Gaddafi of planning genocide against his own people. We knew that if we wanted one more day, said Obama, Benghazi, a city the size of Charlotte, could suffer a massacre that would have reverberated across the region and stained the conscience of the world. Unquote. Massacre story was fabricated by Salafist militias facing defeat by Libyan government forces. They told Reuters there would be a real bloodbath, quote, unquote. Quote, a real bloodbath, a massacre like we saw in Rwanda, unquote. Oh, yeah. So, Mr. Bill in Rwanda is forever saying, we should have intervened in our intervention to install Kagame in, 1990 invasion from Uganda, so never mind, like Rwanda. So the Commons Committee reported the proposition that Muammar Gaddafi would have ordered the massacre of civilians in Benghazi was not supported by the available evidence, unquote. Britain, France, the United States effectively destroyed Libya as a modern state. According to its own records, NATO launched 9,700 strike sorties, of which more than a third hit civilian targets. These included fragmentation bombs and missiles with uranium warheads. The cities of Misrata and Sirte were carpet bombed. UNICEF, UN Children's Organizations reported high proportion of children killed were under the age of 10. More than giving rise to the Islamic State, ISIS had already taken root in the ruins of Iraq following the Blair and Bush invasion in 2003. These ultimate medievalists now had all of North Africa as the base. The attack also triggered a stampede of refugees fleeing to Europe. Cameron was celebrated in Tripoli as a liberator, or imagined he was. The crowds cheering him included those secretly supplied and trained by Britain's SAS, inspired by Islamic State, such as the Manchester Boys. To the Americans and British, Gaddafi's true crime was his iconoclastic independence and his plan to abandon the petrodollar, a pillar of American imperial power. He had audaciously planned to underwrite a common African currency backed by gold, establish an all-African bank, and promote economic union among poor countries with prized resources. Whether or not this would have happened, the very notion was intolerable to the U.S. as it prepared to enter Africa and bribe African governments with military partnerships. The fallen dictator fled for his life. A Royal Air Force plane spotted his convoy, and in the rubble of Sirte, he was sodomized with a knife by a fanatic described in the news as a rebel. Having plundered Libya's $30 billion arsenal, the rebels, in quotes, advanced south, terrorizing towns and villages, crossing into sub-Saharan Mali, that destroyed that country's fragile stability. Ever eager French sent planes and troops to their former colony, quote, to fight Al-Qaeda, unquote, or the menace they had helped create. 14th of October, 2011, President Obama announced he was sending special forces troops to Uganda to join the civil war there. The next few months, U.S. combat troops were sent to South Sudan, Congo, Central African Republic. With Libya secured, American invasion of the African continent was underway, largely unreported. In London, one of the world's biggest arms fairs was staged by the British government. The buzz in the stands was the demonstration effect in Libya. London Chamber of Commerce and Industry held a review entitled Middle East, a Vast Market for UK Defense and Security Companies, unquote. Host was the Royal Bank of Scotland, major investor in cluster bombs, which were used extensively against civilian targets in Libya. The blurb for the bank's arms party lauded unprecedented opportunities for UK defense and security companies. Oh, yeah. So I'll probably be at 5300 Portugal Highway next Monday at 9 a.m. Eh. Anyway, but never mind. Last month, Prime Minister Theresa May was in Saudi Arabia, selling more of the £3 billion worth of British arms, which the Saudis have used against Yemen. Oh, yeah, where they get the white phosphorus from Concord, because we have a 1985 shipping order to, I think, Ilopango, El Salvador. Based in control rooms in Riyadh, British military advisors assist the Saudi bombing raids, which have killed more than 10,000 civilians. There are now clear signs of famine. Yemeni child dies every 10 minutes from preventable disease, says UNIFED. Manchester atrocity on 22nd May was the product of such unrelenting state violence in faraway places, much of it British-sponsored. Lives and names of the victims are almost never known to us. Truth struggles to be heard, just as it struggled to be heard when London Underground was bombed July 7, 2005. Oh, bullshit, John. Peter Power went on BBC and said we were drilling bombs four places at those four times. And that was Bizar. Okay. Manchester was the product. Truth struggles to be heard just as it. Occasionally, a member of the public would break the silence, such as the East Londoner who walked in front of a CNN camera crew and reported in mid platitude, Iraq. He said, we invaded Iraq. What did you expect? Go on, say it. At a large media gathering I attended, many of the important guests uttered Iraq and Blair as a kind of catharsis for that which they dare not say professionally and publicly. Oh, yeah. And so there's all this shitstorm in the parliament about the false flag. It's obvious to throw it to the conservatives because that's the way that always goes. False flags always punish the left. Because it's the security state at work. Before he invaded Iraq, Blair was warned by a joint intelligence committee that the threat from Al-Qaeda will increase at the onset of any military action against Iraq. Of course, Robin Cook said it's the CIA Contra-Army database. Or he didn't say CIA because, of course, MI6 and CIA are joint shithooks, and so the slime buckets up the Thames lost 100,000 soldiers or something like that in Afghanistan, so they're going to go back with their overlords as they have everywhere. Franz Fanon talks all about that, and these medievalists are equivalent in South Asia. It's the counter-revolutionaries of the Contra War from the horrible 80s, but just as Blair brought home to Britain the violence of his and George W. Bush's blood-soaked shit show, so David Cameron, supported by Theresa May, compounded his crime in Libya and its horrific aftermath, including those killed and maimed at Manchester Arena on the 22nd of May. The spin is back, not surprisingly. Salman Abedi acted alone. He was petty criminal no more. The extensive network revealed last week by the American leak has vanished, but the questions have not. So that's the reason that the slime buckets undies are in a bind, because their spin is, and it's the same as all inside job cover-ups, and that is that it was a petty criminal, he acted alone. So even when it's a murder boss, drone bomber will come to town and say, no, the laughing triple killer, he's not even up to speed on the lone murder boss. He's saying the lone gunman, blah, blah, blah. But no, it was, then the spin was, okay, he's a lone murder boss, never mind shutting up about the $250,000 pig story that Chauncey Bailey never got to publish in the Oakland Post, because, of course, we had our brains blown out in this town. Why was Abadi able to travel freely through Europe to Libya and back to Manchester only days before he committed this terrible crime? Was Theresa May told by MI5 that the FBI had tracked him as part of an Islamic cell planning to attack a political target in Britain? In the current election campaign, the Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has made a guarded reference to, quote, a war on terror that has failed, unquote, as he knows it was never a war on terror, but a war of conquest and subjugation. Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria. Iran is said to be next, before there is another Manchester. Who will have the courage to say that? Well, the question is, who will be crazy enough to disarm and stand in the way of the greatest source of violence on the planet today?
Sitting Bull, the great apostle of the ghost stand.